Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. State lawmakers have moved to take power away from local government in the last few years, including the last legislative session. Lawmakers have redrawn local election districts, passed laws about local water systems and airports, and banned any attempts by towns to limit fracking in their areas. Scott Mooneyham with the North Carolina League of Municipalities talked with News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle about local control and the bond issue on the ballot this spring.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us again on News and Views.
Good to be here.
It's been a few months since legislators wrapped up the session, and one in which we saw more than 1,600 bills that were introduced. The League of Municipalities, as you reflect on the year, what are some of the highlights that stand out for you?
Well, there are several, and certainly one of the biggest is the restoration of historic preservation tax credits. Going around the state, we heard from a number of municipal officials about how important these tax credits are to specific projects that spur economic growth, throughout their cities and downtowns. And this was just a very critical issue. But of course, we enjoyed a number of other significant achievements this time. The passage of the bond issue, there's $300 million there for local water and sewer projects. That's going to be vital to projects that are really needed out there. These are not easy investments to make sometimes on the local level where you have towns and cities that are struggling to, particularly where in rural areas where you've had population loss and loss of tax base.
Well, let's talk a little bit more in depth about some of those issues. You mentioned the historic preservation tax credits and the film incentives. It was surprising to me that this was an area that really seemed to be in doubt for much of the session. Governor McCrory was traveling around doing a lot of press events. It seemed like on the local level, there was good support for it. But when it came to convincing the Senate, as it was, to go along with it, they had a lot of doubts.
Well, certainly the Senate has a philosophy where they do not want these types of tax credits. They have made clear, the leadership in the Senate has made clear, that they would like kind of this purist tax code. It did take a lot of convincing on that side that these were very much a needed economic development tool. But it really is great that municipal officials and the McCrory administration were able to really demonstrate the effectiveness of these in terms of bringing about wider scale economic development.
I think that if you live in a large urban area, you probably don't realize how important those small towns are, those Main Street areas, that some of the buildings that really these smaller towns really do take a lot of pride in.
Absolutely. And this is a situation where these buildings won't last forever. If there is not some investment there to restore and bring up these buildings, ultimately they're going to be torn down. This was for some of these projects, there was a very critical time element here that if the legislature had not acted, some of these things, the opportunity would have gone away.
And with regards to the film incentives or film grants, equally important for areas beyond Wilmington. I think that there was a perception at one point that this was specific to that one area of the state, but we really will see benefit throughout North Carolina.
Yeah, Charlotte has been another area that's seen a lot of film activity. And as you say, there have been other areas as well. And what the legislature decided to do last year, they had set aside $10 million for film grants, and they increased that amount to $30 million. And I think hopefully we'll see some continuing film and TV production activity because of that.
Let's talk a little bit about incentives. We've seen our economy get a little bit stronger. This has always been an area, though, of concern for cities and towns. Lawmakers ultimately did pass the North Carolina Competes Act. How is this going to help local communities with their economic development?
Well, it's just one part of the picture. And what people will tell you is if you don't have that state incentive that other states are offering, it is a detriment to being able to recruit industry. And particularly when it comes to, some of the larger plants and expansions that multi-state companies are looking at. So what you see out there is a lot of times there's a local component to this and there's local investment to this, but we need the state component as well.
people often forget how things change very quickly as the legislature draws to a close. Senate Bill 279 was a perfect example of that. The League was able to block that last-minute measure to preempt local authority on anti-discrimination ordinances and housing code policies. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
That was one of these cases where in the final days, all of a sudden this provision popped up, was put in a bill. We had not seen it previously at all. It really activated our membership, and we were able to activate our membership to make calls and make people aware that this is the kind of thing that can have unintended consequences. And these are provisions that need vetting. And in this case, this would have preempted local authority. These ordinances are needed, they're effective, and it was certainly an instance where we were just really taken aback of where this came from, but fortunately we were able to stop it.
Another bill that was late moving but also had reaction, strong reaction on both sides, was House Bill 318, the Protect North Carolina Works Act. It was a mixed bag. It had language that I believe the League supported regarding E-Verify, but then again, it was one of those bills that stripped away local control regarding immigration status checks. How do you balance bills like that?
It was a difficult thing, and certainly we had worked the E-Verify provision. Is something that goes back several years, and there had been changes back and forth. There was a 2013 change that had created real problems for cities and towns in terms of compliance, where there were E-Verify checks required for just, you know, purchases of pen and paper. This was really creating a red tape nightmare. Fortunately, we got some relief in 2014, as the language of the bill was originally. This year, it would have rolled back that relief, and we got some further changes that helped to alleviate that. And so we largely kept intact the relief that had been granted. And let me just say, that does not affect the large contracts, the, you know, building or whatever contracts. The E-Verify requirements continue to exist there for those four local governments. But as far as the sanctuary cities, as it's been referred to, provision, you know, it's important to note these types of policies are only, there are only a handful of local governments that have adopted them. And by and large, they have been focused on trying to encourage cooperation with local law enforcement as it relates to, you know, victims of crime and witnesses to crime, to encourage them to come forward and cooperate.
One more bill in which we saw local control kind of eroded, if you will, was Senate Bill 22. This addresses the movement of monuments and things like the Confederate flag. I don't even think that was on anyone's radar heading into the session, and unfortunately it came about because of the Charleston shooting.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. It was not on people's radar. It's still kind of unclear exactly what the effects of that are going to be, you know, down the road. So I guess that's just something that we're going to have to see, you know, how that does have effects in localities.
Well, let's talk about some positive news, some positive things that came out of the session, including the governor signing the Connect NC Bond Act. That's going to be our first general obligation bond in about 15 years.
Absolutely. It's been since 2000 that we saw one, and this includes over $300 million for local water and sewer projects, and those are very much needed. It's going to be really good to see that. A lot of times people don't always make the connection between these infrastructure investments and how they have ripple effects throughout the economy. I mean, this is government investment, whether it's at the state or local level, is critical to gaining private sector investment.
You mentioned investment at the local level. The recent election we just saw pass saw several local bond initiatives pass. Tell us about that.
Yes, every one of those, there were, I forget, it was five or six, but every one passed. And I think when you see, when local governments can make the case of the connection between the infrastructure investment and the effects that it will have on the broader economy, on the quality of life in a community, people are overwhelmingly supportive of that. And that's what we saw in this last election.
And of course, there are certainly some bills that did not pass that will be back for the short session. Tell us a little bit about what the League will be anticipating.
It's very difficult to predict what will occur and what will be out there. You know, on our radar, on the negative side is, and there are also bills that are filed that may not have passed but are still eligible. And certainly one that we are concerned about is one that would preempt local control of billboard regulations. We think we're probably going to see that in 2016, renewed debate about that. Again, so many of these things are connected, and it's obviously folks who are billboard company owners want to have some leeway in where they can locate and what they can do with those. But just putting a billboard anywhere have an effect on broader economic development, on other businesses, on housing, on all kinds of things. So.
And of course, after 2016, we know that a lot of people who have been familiar faces in the legislature, shall we say, have already said they're not running again. So you get a new opportunity, I guess, to educate a new set of lawmakers about all of these issues.
It is amazing how much turnover there has been in the legislature over the last several years. And yep, it looks like we're going to continue to see that trend.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back and talking a little bit more about issues that affect cities and towns. Scott Mooneyham is with the North Carolina League of Municipalities. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.